This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays. Today, my special guest is Anthony Lawson, who's made a number of videos and documentaries that have won prizes at film festivals and who has done a couple of excellent short pieces in relation to 9/11, one entitled This Is an Orange, in which he talks about the destruction of Building 7 as a classic controlled demolition. Another is 9/11, Twin Towers of Dust, where he talks about the destruction of the Twin Towers. I think those are both excellent pieces. More recently, he has turned his attention to research on the possibility of video fakery on 9/11 in New York, and the possibility of no planes, where he's taken a very different, a very critical approach, and has produced a couple of attacks on the critics who are suggesting that some of the videos are faked or that there were no planes. And it's a pleasure to have you back on the air, Anthony. How are you?
Thank you, James. I'm fine. I'd just like to make one little correction there. I didn't win any prizes for documentaries. It was commercials, TV commercials, and Towers of Dust was put together by Nick Irving, who asked me to do the voiceover for him.
Very good, yes. I like both of those.
I helped a bit on the script because answers that other people write sometimes.
Yeah, well, I like I like both of those pieces very much, and I'm very interested in your criticism, of course, of several arguments that have been presented about the possibility of video fakery, and in particular, you've been attacking the series September Clues. Well, anyone who wants to go onto 911scholars.org will find, if you scroll down to New Studies, that I have the first eight parts of September Clues, or at present eight parts altogether. And, Anthony, you have done a critique of the first one, which has to do with the nose seeming to come through the building and the fact that there's a... seems to be a fade to black there and so forth. Let me talk just briefly about it, and then you can talk about it. The first segment of September Clues is subtitled The 9/11 News Media Coverage. It starts with CNN footage in which as the plane hits the building and begins to merge from the opposite side, there is a fade to black. That is to say, there's a black panel that says fade to black on it. On CBS, the wife of the producer reports observing the plane hit from a building at her location in Chelsea. On Fox News, a helicopter broadcast goes fade to black at the same point where this occurred on CNN. As the voiceover explains, such events are important for multiple reasons, including A, the fade to black on CNN and Fox occurred just as the nose of the plane is emerging from the opposite side of the building, as though an editor were seeking to cover the image, and of course, whether that actually is a nose or not is a key issue. The announcer on CBS does not appear to notice any plane as it approaches the building, which would have been extremely difficult, if not impossible, to observe from Chelsea, another point which Anthony contests. And third, microphones located on-site near the base of the South Tower failed to pick up sounds of any impact, which presumably would have caused significant auditory reverberations, another point that you dispute. The first point, it seems to me, is particularly striking because if, in fact, the nose of the plane conforms to the nose of a Boeing, that is to say, the image that seems to come through the building, after having passed through 200 feet of steel and concrete is, of course, completely implausible. The pixel pattern comparison of September Clues suggests that there is this correspondence, which, of course, you dispute. And if there had been such a correspondence, it would have been physically impossible in indicating that, in fact, the footage had been faked. The fade also takes place 28 hundredths of a second late, which appears consistent with human hand-eye response coordination. So I'm quite intrigued by this, but of course you dispute it very strongly, Anthony, in your very first piece about September Clues, which is entitled, let's see, September Clues Busted.
That's right. If you take the so-called nose coming out, there are videos from the other side something that it could be construed or thought of as being the nose of a plane. It comes out the other side too, and there's no so-called fade to black. The imagination of the person who put this together is pretty well developed. The point is that when he compares his pixels, and which he said can be peer reviewed, I've never been able to find this place where you can review these and discuss it with him. In fact, later I'll read you one of his emails to me. There isn't a match. If you look at the original September clues, which I've actually included as well, there isn't a match. So how do you explain a match if there isn't a match?
Well, I think that's, of course, a very reasonable question, but what constitutes or doesn't constitute a match is a crucial question, of course.
Well, it's supposed to be a graphic. Ace Baker is very keen on this, and he's written me any number of emails about saying that you'd expect it to be a little bit different. I'm sorry, a graphic is a graphic. If you've got a graphic of a plane, which September Clues alleged was used by the TV stations, you've got a graphic. It's going to be the same whether it's coming out of the building or going into it, isn't it?
Well, Ace has suggested a kind of test for us about our visual perception where he would offer us a multiple choice.
Is it going to be the same if you've got a graphic, if you've got a picture which you're trying to convince people is going in one side of a building and then coming out of the other side? It's a picture, isn't it? Or it's a movie made at another time. A very, very difficult thing to pull off anyway. The picture has to be the same.
Are you still there, Anthony?
Yes.
Yeah. We got kind of a fade out there.
I'm saying that the picture, let's call it a picture or the graphic, it has to be the same. It cannot be slightly different. If you've got a picture supposedly going in one side of the building and it's supposed to be the same picture coming out of the other side done with video trickery, the picture has to be the same. It can't be slightly different. It can't be a little bit different. It has to be the same.
Yes, and I think, Anthony, Ace is challenging us to determine whether there is a similarity or lack of similarity by offering six images for us to determine which are which, or at least, I presume, which match. That sounds like a reasonable thing to do, does it not, or not?
Well, if you overlay them, they should match, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I would think they should.
If you lay your hand, for example, on a Xerox machine and take a copy of it and come back in a day's time and do another one, would you expect them to match when you put them together against a window or something?
Sure.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anyway, then the fade to black thing, it doesn't really matter whether it was a fade to black or not. If the pixels don't match, then it wasn't a graphic plane.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Anthony Lawson. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. My special guest today, Anthony Lawson, and we're discussing some of his rebuttals to September Clues and other research that is purports to substantiate video fakery and the possibility that there were no big Boeings present in New York City on 9/11. Anthony, I think the question about matching comes down to judgments about what matches or what doesn't match.
James, you don't have a judgment. Either two things, when they're overlaid, are the same or they're not. In September Clues, he overlays these things and he fades one of them out. You can see them coming in. I've put the two together on using better material, and they don't match.
Look, Anthony, I mean, I'm not trying to be so argumentative as just discuss this point here. I had a whole graduate course when I was earning my PhD on the notion of perception and the concept of a just noticeable difference. This would be how much difference in a tone or how much difference in a color, how much difference in a shape would be something you could notice. Now, if it took a delta, call it delta, to get a noticeable difference, you could have a less than delta that wasn't noticeable combined with another less than delta that wasn't noticeable that would yield something greater than delta that was noticeable. And I'm sure you can understand that theoretically. Now, the point I'm making is Ace Baker is inviting us to assess how well we're able to make these judgments by giving us a kind of test where there are two images of the nose of the plane, two images of the dust out as you would have it, and two other images that are mixed, and asked us to discriminate between them and tell which is which. Now, doesn't that seem like a reasonable thing to do?
If you overlay things, look, I used to make my living. Occasionally we had to put two images together to make a sort of a transition between one scene and another scene. And you took the matching frame. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm here.
And you had a matching frame, and you matched them. You put them into a device, whatever. You could put them onto a light box. And if they matched, they matched. If they didn't match, you had to do something to sort of make them match. These images, when they're shown on September Clues, he has two images coming together. One of them, you can see that it isn't going to match before it comes together, and he fades the one. He fades one of them out, and they don't match. Now, you can have any sorts of psychological tests you like, but if with your own eyes, as I've said in my other video, which you rather appreciated, this is an orange, you believe your own eyes. The things don't match. You can spend a day having a psychological to that person that it matches. Look at it. Have you got it up in front of you?
Your video, it was 28 minutes long.
Not my video. September Clues video.
September Clues. Let's see here.
Very early on in the first episode.
Yeah, I'm running it right now, or at least loading it. Let's see what
he does. He says, available for peer review or something, and he's got two images coming together. One is called Nose In, which is supposed to be the graphic of the nose going into the building, and the other one is supposed to be the graphic of it coming out. They don't match.
Well, I'll take a look, Anthony. I'm running right now. Anyone can get it there on 911scholars.org. Now, Anthony, the thing that's interesting to me is you've talked about this first installment of September Clues. Of course, there are now eight of them. Are you planning to do a critique of each of the other seven?
Well, I might look at some other aspects. If you've seen Google, the one on Google, I do talk about the Norde Brothers film, which has been... The Norde brothers have been denigrated by all sorts of people with absolutely no shred of evidence to say that they were in the loop. Because what people are saying is the Norde brothers were in the loop. They were put there to film the thing, to video the thing, and they must have known. Well, as I say, if they really had been put there to video it, then they would have pointed the camera so that they just needed to lift it up a bit. But that's conjecture. There is absolutely nothing which says that they were put there by whatever agency to do it. There's not a shred of evidence. And why are people impugning these people?
Why you would suggest there isn't a shred of evidence? I mean, there's the circumstances. They just happen to be in a position where they could capture this, which is rather improbable in general. If you were just randomly distributed in New York City, it would be...
It is not improbable.
What's your statistical sense? Of course it's improbable. Now, if you happen to be located right there...
How many times has an event like 9/11 taken place? What do you mean it's improbable? It's just a coincidence, two things that happened at the same time.
Well,
the point is, if you look at the video, if they had, okay, let's say they had been put there, they would have known what speed that the plane was going to come in. They would know they had about 20 at the most, frames in the position that they were to spin the camera and catch that image.
No, my point is...
He turns the camera, and he gets about 16 frames, I think it is. If he had known it was going to be there, he would have put the fireman in front of him with the building in the background. So all he needed to do was tilt up. Now, that's... Because I don't believe that he knew that it was there. You can't say that he did, and neither can Ace Baker, and neither can Simon Schaff.
And neither can you say that he didn't. I mean, that's the problem here, I think, with some of your positions. They're too strong in their form of denial. You say there's not a shred of evidence. Anthony, it's certainly worth thinking about the possibility that this could have been contrived. I'm not saying that there's anything definitive about it, but it's certainly a question that's worth raising. And for you to suggest there's no shred of evidence, the fact is they were there and took some footage that was really, all things considered, given the massive locations in New York where you could not have taken that footage, it's extremely improbable statistically. If you talked about a random location, it wouldn't have happened.
Oh, give me a break. What do you mean statistically improbable? They were making a documentary about
there are massive locations in New York, the overwhelming majority of which you could not have taken that footage.
It was a gas leak.
But I'm saying, look, I'm not explanation, Anthony, and they did take the footage. I'm just saying for you to suggest that it's not worth discussing or that it's ridiculous is, in my opinion, far-fetched on your part. I mean, of course you're going to have plausible deniability. You're going to have a reason for being there, Anthony. That's part of the game. I'm not saying they were there as plants. I'm saying your dismissal of the idea is not justified. This is... Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Anthony Lawson. My special guest today, Anthony Lawson, has not only been involved in the production of This Is an Orange, which is a brilliant piece about the destruction of Building 7 as a controlled demolition, emphasizing the idea of believing what you see before you. He also collaborated with Nick Irving on 9/11, the Twin Towers of Dust, by offering the voiceover and revising or editing some of the script. Those are wonderful pieces. I highly recommend. He's also now been offering critiques of several studies of the video shown on 9/11 to suggest that their evidence for video fakery is not well-founded. And, Anthony, I've been going back to September Clues Part 1, and at 4 minutes and 30 seconds in, there is a statement there after he is showing the similarity between the nose in and the nose out by imposing them one on the other. This is available for peer review, by which I take it he means that if you contact him, he'll send you his raw footage so you can study it for yourself, which, of course, you've been doing independently.
Well, I've been doing it using you've been able to get myself, because I think the best way of going about any kind of research is to go back to the best copies you can find of the material, which I did, and I sent you a document where I showed that the images that I put together were quite different because they were not anti-aliased. Anti-aliasing treats the pixels side by side, softens the image down, and you could make George Bush and George Clooney look the same. They wouldn't look like a person, but the headshots, if you took them, you could make them look the same with anti-aliasing and jiggery-pokery and stuff like that. But if you look at the images from a decent copy of that video, they are not the same.
So your argument is that the quality of the video that September Clues uses isn't adequate to establish the case.
It's based in Rome, and the copy that I got certainly was on PicPal, so it must have been transferred from NTSC, and it's been anti-aliased. If you take an original NTSC copy and put those two images together, they're not the same. End of story, Jim.
Well, I mean, end of story. If, in fact, we're able to authenticate the sources we're using, right? I mean, we want to make sure this.
Have you got that document I sent you? If you've got that document I've sent you, and you can tell me that the images that he says are the same, if you say that they're the same, then you know you've got an eyesight problem. I'm sorry to be like that, but they are not the same. They've got to be the same to make his theory work. And they're not the same. Look, you know, you can lie on a summer's day with your head on a grassy bank and look at the sky, and you can see a poodle, you can see a bust of Beethoven. It doesn't mean to say the poodle's there or Beethoven's up there. It's just an image. He's taken of images which look roughly the same and tried to say they're the same. They're not.
Let me ask you this, Anthony. In part two, entitled The Flying Telephants, September Clue shows various videos of the plane's approach are inconsistent with one another. Some show a smooth, perfectly horizontal trajectory into the building. Others display a steep vertical descent before impact. A few show no plane at all. Now, my inference is that...
I mean, I'm sorry, you've got to look at those things. I've put together a compilation of those images in my version. They cut together like butter, as an editor would say. Being a director, when you're taking scenes from different angles, etc., you have to make sure that everything matches. It's going to look right. If you cut those images together, if you've looked at my video with any sort of care, you will see that those images, the angles, the tilt of the plane, they match when you cut them together. Because, of course, if you take one image at you know, 3 seconds before another one, it's going to be different because planes move in the air.
Now, you would agree, would you not, that in order to show, you know, the authenticity of the films is a very difficult challenge because there are so many different ways in which they could have been altered. You would agree with that in principle? It's like the difference between verification and falsification. If somebody claims all rabbits are white, which would be analogous to saying the film's authentic, you got to show that every rabbit is white if you want to verify it, if you want to have a conclusive argument. To show that some rabbits aren't white only requires one, say one brown rabbit or one spotted rabbit. I'm sure you'd agree with that. So that it's even...
I'm not even sure what you mean by that, but you have to take this whole thing as a totality. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses. How did they get an image of an aircraft? I'm not saying it's Flight 175, a matter of conjecture. How did they all get an image of an aircraft imprinted on their retinas? How did all these video cameras and stills cameras get these images planted on them?
Well,
Anthony, nobody has answered that. Nobody has answered that question.
Well, I don't expect you to have listened to every broadcast of this program, but Andrew Johnson has done a study of 500 witness reports that was collated by the New York Times, and he's discovered that it's a surprisingly small number who would claim, for example, that it was an American Airlines plane that hit the North Tower or a United that hit the South. In fact, there's only one witness out of those 500 who testifies to those points.
Well, what about the ones, all the ones that saw a plane? I mean, when you glance up,
go ahead.
That thing, the speed that thing was going and passing buildings. I mean, just seeing a huge plane is one thing. Defining which brand it is another. Andrew, I know Andrew. Andrew will not give up on the no planes issue, but there were people, hundreds of people, who saw the plane, both of them. Not so many on the first one, but everybody was looking up at the burning North Tower, and they saw a plane coming in. Are you saying that they're all wrong? That they didn't see a plane?
I'm saying the evidence is a whole lot more shaky than you're suggesting.
It's not shaky. They all saw a plane, whether they saw the pods on the bottom or whether they saw, you know, whatever. And then you've got the flash.
Do you find pods on the bottom there? I mean, you know, some non-standard features on the plane at the South Tower.
big problems with what people are seeing, because there are a lot of shadows in various places. It may be a different plane. I am not saying which type of plane it was. That's not the issue as far as I'm concerned. I believe it was a plane, and I believe that it actually did get through the walls, which I said in my... Have you seen my recent video?
The one about impossible speed?
Yes.
Oh, sure, of course. I figure that's what we'll focus on for much of our conversation.
And going back to the first one, you've seen the video that I made on September Clues. How do you explain September Clues, his name, the guy put it, Simon Shack, said that the mat, which was supposed to protect the building from the plane going across it, the mat shifted, and somebody had to fade the image, the incoming image, to blank.
Hold that thought. We'll come back to it. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. My special guest is Anthony Lawson, who's done some brilliant work on 9/11, including This Is an Orange and contributing to Nick Irving's Towers of Dust. Really good stuff. And he's been turning his attention to criticizing those who are suggesting that video fakery was taking place on 9/11. Anthony, I must say, you know, something I like about September Clues is that it raises so many different kinds of issues that it's very stimulating. You know, it makes you think about these questions from so many perspectives. That, to me, seems to me a valuable contribution, even if he were wrong about every one of them. And, of course, that has not been shown. I like what you're doing about, you know, tackling the question of whether there's a match in the nose by taking different, you know, what you take to be higher quality videos to demonstrate that in the higher quality videos you don't get the match that you ought to have, presumably, if the complaint were a legitimate one. I do like Ace Baker's suggestion of looking at six different images and trying to see how much we can visually compare them and find matches, but that's related to that specific part one of September Clues. I don't consider any of the arguments in September Clues, however, to be the most important ones in relation to video fakery. And I take it that you would agree that, of course, video fakery and planes or no planes are separable issues, because while it's true that if the videos are authentic, then there have to have been planes, and you're conceding that those planes may or may not have been, you know, the official Flight 175 and Flight 11 and so forth, that these could have been substitute planes, as, for example, the non...
Well, for heavens, can I get a word in? For heaven's sake, when nobody really believes the 9/11 Commission report. Or very much of it. So,
yeah.
I mean, the planes could have been anything. They could have been swapped under red of their transponders. But listen, you talk about whether a person, you know, will stand by, you know, what they've done. I've got an email from, not an email, he wrote to comment on one of the videos from Simon Shack on the 26th of November, who says, and this is a person who is supposed to be serious researcher on 9/11. Whoever you are, Mr. Lawson, one thing is clear. You have failed to deliver to the people who financed you to denigrate September Clues. Your utter arrogance oozes and stinks of falsity. You are a jerk, all in all, evidently at the mercy of your own insignificance as a human being.
Well, that's rather childish. I quite agree. I invited...
It's not childish. It's just it's a liar trying to make up for his own lies.
Oh, I don't know, Anthony. You do an awful lot of mind reading, it seems to me. You know, we'll get to that when we get around to your defense of the, you know, your critique of the impossible speed, which seems to me to be a little much when you start going after me and Morgan personally for our sincere views about this matter. But the point I want to make right now,
I'm asking you to take a closer look at the material that I presented in response to what Jeffrey Hill has done. He has not shown what he should have shown in that video. He has made up a lot of stuff. He's been to a guy who's 76 years old and retired goodness knows how long ago, who was not an aerospace engineer. He's a software engineer. And he turns up on Morgan Reynolds' website, and the guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Did you look at the fact sheet from the FAA and the speed of that plane?
We'll get to that momentarily, but the point I want to make is there are five...
Okay, let's go back then. Let's go back to the issue you bring up about whether the nose-in, nose-out matches. On my video, it's 11:18. I found the spot. Now, go to 11:18, and you tell me whether they match. If you say they match, then there's nothing more for us to talk about.
There would be a lot more for us to talk about, because showing that one argument for video fakery is mistaken isn't showing that all the other arguments for video fakery are mistaken.
Let's just sort one of those out then. But this is the way that people like you and politicians act. We don't discuss one thing right the way through. We bounce to here and we bounce to there, and we say what Andrew Johnson found, that, you know, most of these people didn't know what kind of plane it was. The fact that they saw a plane doesn't seem to matter. It's what kind it was. Let's go to 11:18, September clues busted, right? Version that I posted on Google, 11:18, and look at those two pictures.
11:05. It's got to load, Anthony. It's got to load. Look, the point I'm making is this. There are five arguments that seem to me to be the most important arguments. I mean, there are others. But the first is the impossible speed, and we're going to be addressing that, okay? If the planes couldn't fly at these speeds, at those altitudes, then obviously something is wrong. And, of course,
Did you say?
Yeah,
if they
couldn't fly at those speeds, at those altitudes. I know what you're arguing, Anthony. I'm saying, I'm making a conditional. It says if they could not have flown at 560 miles an hour, which is the average of the five sources, then obviously something is wrong. The videos have to be faked if that's an impossible speed for that plane at that altitude. You agree to that, of course. You just think...
You also say that if they could,
of course, they could fly that fast at that altitude. So that's a crucial issue, but it's nice because it's an empirical scientific question to which there's an objective answer. So we're going to pursue that. Second is the existence of this... wing or wake of vortex, where a plane in flight.
No, come on. You're moving the goalposts again. That's exactly what Ace Baker does. The wing vortex,
I'm just enumerating what I take to be the five most important arguments. And we'll talk about it. I'm not asking for a rebuttal. I'm just saying what I take to be the five most important, okay? Let me say them. The absence of wake vortex, for example, in relation to the hit on the North Tower seems to me to be very telling, that it ought to be present and it is not present. Third, and this seems to me to be devastating, which is the absence of the silhouette of the damage done to the plane as the plane enters the building. And when the plane enters the South Tower, it rather melts into the building, as I'm sure you would agree, just as you want me to agree.
No, I don't agree. Don't say things that I would not agree with and then try and pass them off. No, I don't. It was in the shadow. The right-hand side of the building was very, very bright on both of the images, the very clear images, the one from Carmen Taylor and the other one.
So you think there actually is that cutout as the plane goes into the building when it was creating the cutout that we later see on the side of the building, that is being created as the plane goes into the building and you can discern it? Is that your position?
You can't discern it because drywall dust, etc., was taking its place. If you take a sledgehammer to a wall and you break through it, you get a lot of dust falling. And you take a 100-ton aircraft and probably when it exploded, immediately it's in the shadow side of the building on both of those shots, the clearest shots. The Herzog-Carney video. And the you don't see it on Carmen. Can I just finish, James?
Yeah, I was just going to repeat your key point.
You don't see it on the Carmen Taylor still picture, but you can see that it's in shadow and that the white wall has taken the contrast. Sorry, I hear some music in the background.
Yeah, stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Anthony Lawson. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. My special guest is Anthony Lawson, who's done some wonderful stuff on 9/11, including This Is an Orange, about the controlled demolition of Building 7, and believing what you see with your eyes. Hey, Alex, we got a background there. We got a background in there. And, of course, believing your eyes is a reasonable thing to do unless you're being subjected to some kind of trickery. I mean, David Copperfield would say, believe your eyes. And I'm sure that Anthony would acknowledge that there are cases when there are visual deceptions where maybe believing your eyes isn't actually the thing to do. And I was enumerating what I take to be the five most important arguments, none of which are actually in September clues, namely the issue of impossible speed, where Anthony has done an extensive rebuttal to that, so we're going to take a good look at that and what remains. The phenomenon of wake or wing vortex, and Anthony has replies to that. The cutout silhouettes, which seem to me quite striking, but where Anthony wants to suggest that it's the materials used to build the walls that could be filling it in and making it difficult to see. Two others I didn't have a chance to mention before, however, are in Ace Baker's research. He's found footage of the plane approaching the South Tower where the background frames are repeated, even though the airplane itself advances from frame to frame. The background, including the smoke and so forth, are frozen for two frames, which obviously would indicate video fakery. And then finally, of course, Chopper 5 composite, where Ace discovered that when he stabilized the variations induced by the helicopter's motion, apparent variations in aircraft speed that should have been reduced were instead increased. I'm sure, Anthony, you'd agree that if any of those were authentic or legitimate, that would show video fakery, but of course you're disposed to dispute all of them, and we're going to talk especially about impossible speed. Do you want to comment on any of them at this point?
Well, and I was just wondering, had you found, I really do like to finish off, you know, what we've started off with. Have you found the nose in, nose out?
Yeah, I went there. And I was looking at it, and of course you've got this massive magnification. So, you know, I mean, I'm left in a state of uncertainty because, you know, making a judgment here would require looking at the footage you're working with, and I wonder, Anthony, I'm being very courteous to you, and I'm not interrupting you, at least I'm trying not to. Just let me finish my thought, okay? Then you can have your piece, all right? My point is, we'd have to look at the footage you're using there, which you claim to be better footage, and I'm wondering whether you've shared it yet with Ace Baker, and take a good look at it, because you do show some what appear to be differences, but I take it they're on the order of a single pixel, which I find very difficult to appraise. You know, I would assume that we're talking about a level of sophistication where a pixel could be taken in or put in or taken out by any sophisticated technician. So I'm just not sure what to make of it. I am puzzled, Anthony, however, by how you want to go away from the scientific issues and put this in a context of the accused here at 1220. You got this huge list of people you claim would have to have been involved, television presenters, technicians, helicopter pilots, graphic artists, independent videographers, witnesses. This is in logic known as the appeal to pity, where if something's true, then all these consequences follow, but they're unfortunate, so you don't want to think it's true. It's also a straw man because it exaggerates exactly what's at stake here to make it easier to knock down. So I'm not impressed by your doing that. Now, I understand why you do it. I mean, assuming it's sincere, you're saying all these people would have to have been involved. Well, maybe they would and maybe they wouldn't, but the point is it's not a part of the science of the argument. Go ahead.
My turn?
Yeah.
My turn. Okay. Go back to 1117, would you?
Yeah.
Nose in, nose out.
Yeah.
Do the images look the same?
1117.
Yeah.
Well, where the one is kind of very blurred and the other is not so blurred, the one on the left looks more like what we find in September Clues. Is the one on the right also in September Clues?
Yes.
But now they look more closely as you go forward.
I have a few moments of your time now. If you look at that sequence, the images do not match. Now, this comes directly out of September Clues. I haven't touched it in any way. I haven't enlarged it, and I haven't reframed it. This is from September Clues. And he is saying that these match. They don't. Now, whether you blow them up or shrink them down or take them this way or that way, they don't match. He is saying they match. He goes on to say, micro precision match. It's not. Now go on a little bit. And you will see the frames that I have put together from exactly the same position from a decent video. I'll give you the clock on it in a second. Okay, 11:30. 31.
I'm at 11:42, so I may be too far along.
You want to go back?
Yeah. Anthony, I'm not denying that you're raising legitimate questions here about whether there's a match or not a match.
Am I right or wrong? Is the nose in the same as the nose out? It's not. And it should be if his proposition is to hold up, is to hold any water. You can't come on to, he's had a huge viewing. He's got you supporting him. He's got Reynolds supporting him, that these are legitimate questions, but his matches, he's wrong, and you're wrong to accept it.
Well, Anthony, what I said was, my opinion is that, none of my arguments for best reasons for believing in video fakery are derived from September Clues. None of them. I've enumerated five. None of them are from September Clues. Now, you could be right about this argument here. Certainly you've raised serious questions about it, and it seems to me it depends upon going back and verifying the claims you've made here using the video you were using to do it to substantiate your claim. And I would like to have, for example, Ace Baker do that and have us discuss this some more, because I think you're raising very legitimate questions. So, I'm not trying to dispute that.
Can I have a quick turn?
Yeah.
You say that you are not basing your theories or your belief in no planes in September Clues, but you've given it very, very large prominence on your website. There it is, and there are lies contained in it.
Lies, Anthony, that's another word that's casually thrown around. People can have sincere beliefs that are false, They don't have
this
to be
not,
deliberately
intent. This is not a matter of a sincere belief. It is a video lie. They don't match.
Well, Anthony, the same could be made of what you're doing in your attempt to defend or deflect the impossible speed argument.
Tell me the lies I have told.
Let's take a look at that, Anthony, when we return. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo, with my special guest, Anthony Lawson. My special guest is Anthony Lawson, and we're talking about video fakery, issues of video fakery, where Anthony thinks many of the arguments, I guess ultimately actually all of the arguments given in support of video fakery are mistaken, or at least those that are non-trivial, those that actually purport to establish video fakery. Shall we, let's pursue this impossible speed question, Anthony. How about I'll play
James.
Yeah.
Sorry, James. What about the nose in, nose out?
Well, I think it's got to be replicated, Anthony. I think we got to look at it and replicate it. Ace Baker presented this challenge to us to look at a half a dozen different images and see which ones match and don't match.
You don't need to look at a half a dozen images. You look at the ones that the guy... I'm talking about the guy. I'm not talking about Ace Baker. I'm talking about Simon Shack has presented a series of videos called September Clues, in which he has not been honest. and you have put those on your website, and I think scholars, people who call themselves scholars, people in your position, should have a higher level of accountability. You can't just suddenly put this stuff up and say, this is right. You've got to look at it. And you've
well,
got
you've
to
drawn
check
a
it
false
out.
Inference. Putting it out doesn't mean this is right. It means this is interesting and potentially important, and we want to study it.
That's not what a lot of people think. If you see some of the comments you get back when you put up something and point out the lies and the untruths and
I put your stuff up there, Anthony.
You get abuse when you tell the truth.
Anthony, I put your stuff up there. I put your critique of September Clues right there on Scholars, right? Now, since that's contradicting September Clues, they can't both be right, obviously, right? So clearly I'm inviting. I think this is an important area of research. That's why I put it up there, okay? I put it up there to provoke research. Now, what you're doing, I like in the sense that it's responding to the challenge of assessing what he's done. I'm not saying he's right in every respect, and I'm not saying you're wrong in every respect. I'm saying this is really important stuff, and we need to sort it out. Do you have any idea how difficult it's been to get this issue up front and on the front burner, Anthony? Most of us people who for years have been interested in this have been assailed from every corner, from every side, like by a pack of wild dogs, Anthony. And the fact that they have, in fact, got arguments that in some cases I think are very good arguments, like the five I've been enumerating, seems to me that they deserve a hearing, and I'm seeking to give them a hearing. And for you to say, you know, you're getting a lot of abuse because you're attacking them is frankly inconsistent with the historical record, because it's those who've been arguing for video fakery who have been attacked, not those like you who are defending the authenticity of the videos. Now let's look at this impossible speech.
The authenticity of them. I'm not defending the authenticity of the videos. I'm saying if there is fakery, then expose it honestly. Don't expose it using untruths, lies, edited videotapes, etc., etc., which is what Simon Schaff of September Clues has done. He's edited videotapes, taken out important words of eyewitnesses. There's an eyewitness standing there watching the second plane, and he is impugning her ability to be able to see the South Tower from where he was, because he's edited out a very important part of her dialogue, where she says where she is, and she's got a clear view of the place. That's telling lies, James.
Anthony, how do your FAA regulations determine the possible speed of a plane at 700 to 1,000 feet? I mean, I don't see it. You're claiming that that the FAA regs permit it. That doesn't mean the plane could do it, nor does it mean that if a plane were in a dive that it mightn't exceed speeds that it couldn't maintain on a horizontal flight path.
Do you think that Boeing make airplanes that don't exceed the FAA's rulings on what they should and can do safely? It says on that, I haven't got it up at the moment, but you've seen my translation of it. It's 21% over the permitted speed in a vertical dive between sea level and 17,000, 18,000 feet odd. Do you think that a Boeing aircraft can't exceed that speed by 21% safely?
I'm not an expert in answer to that question, Anthony, but I will certainly tell you that the fact that, Joe Keith suggested the fastest altitude that plane could take is around 330 miles an hour at 700 feet has not been disproven by your argument that you could have this like a jet plane mounted on, I don't know if it's on rails, but I mean, that probably is a very specially designed engine to intake air at that sea level atmosphere. In fact, I don't know what altitude it was. What altitude, Anthony, was that jet plane,
You don't look at the videos very carefully. It's at 4,000 feet.
4,000 feet?
Yes, and it's traveling over
Well, that's not 700 feet, Anthony.
It's traveling 200 miles. That's a demonstration. I didn't say that this is what the plane did. That was a demonstration that jet engines can travel very, very quickly.
Well, of course, jet engines can. At 35,000 feet, the cruising speed of this plane is 560 miles an hour. That's not even an issue. The question is what it can do at 700 feet, not what it can do at 4,000.
You mentioned Joseph Keith, right?
Yeah.
Is he a pilot?
I take it he's both a software and an aeronautical engineer.
I think he's a software engineer. Well, have you ever heard of a guy called Field McConnell?
Field McConnell.
Yeah. He flies F-4 Phantoms. And he's got a video which was showing him flying at about 10 feet at 600 miles an hour.
Yeah.
With turbojet engines. Turbojet engines are capable of that speed at 700 feet.
You can see the plane coming.
The plane is coming in a dive. If you look at the shots I put together, the plane dives in. It's documented by the I can't remember who actually put up the radar. It was a radar track of it. It's diving down from about 33,000 feet, and it's continuing to dive when it's about 7 seconds away from impact. The speed is not impossible, no matter what Joseph Keith says.
Well, I
ask somebody who flies airplanes.
Well, I said how some footage shows it coming in at a dive, another on the horizontal. My presumption has been it was on a horizontal trajectory rather than a diving one. But that's an interesting question to pursue. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Anthony Lawson. My special guest today is Anthony Lawson, who's done some brilliant work on 9/11, including This Is an Orange. He also assisted Nick Irving in preparing the Towers of Dust. He's been disputing some of the arguments for video fakery that have been advanced, in particular in September, Clues. Anthony, I would say if I direct your attention to the scholar's website, because it says possible evidence of 9/11 TV fakery. Possible evidence of 9/11 TV fakery. Then it gives September Clues, originally in six parts, then I added the other two. Then it says, debunking September Clues, a point-by-point analysis by Nick Irving. Then it's got some unseen September 11th footage, 9/11 attack worth sorting out. Then it's got September Clues busted by Anthony Lawson. Then it's got the Ginga series, 1, 2, 3, 4, which I happen to think is very good. Chopper 5 composite by Ace Baker, Eric Salter's rebuttal, and Ace Baker's response. Now, what is there about the website for scholars that would lead you to infer that I am therefore endorsing everything said in September Clues?
Lost you.
Pardon me?
Lost you. Skype.
We can't hear you, Anthony. We got a bad connection right now. The Skype is not holding up. Say it again. Okay. Yeah, Anthony, but what I'm trying to say, of course, is that I think this is a very important subject of research, and I'm seeking to promote it by putting all this up so people will think about it. But there's nothing here on the website that implies that I'm endorsing everything in separate clues. In fact, I'm not. And I think it's clear that, you know, I find it very stimulating. It's approaching this issue from so many different points of view that I find it impossible to imagine anyone could watch September Clues and be tremendously encouraged to think about this from multiple perspectives. Now, when you open up your attack on the impossible speed featuring me and the scholar's website and Morgan, I think you're misrepresenting the case with regard to the scholar's site and me, because I am encouraging research on this. I never placed my belief on video fakery on September Clues, though when it first came out, I did say about it that it seemed to me that it presented a wide variety of arguments that seemed upon for initial consideration, for example, be very persuasive. But I said it was very important to consider whether a fake video of video fakery. Now, that's the issue you're pursuing. But if you read the press release that I put out about September News initially, Anthony, you'll find I said it's really crucial to consider whether we have fake video of video fakery. Did you hear my review of what we have on the Scholar's website and why I did a...
I keep up with what you have on the Scholar's website, and I'm just wondering if you actually look carefully at the material you put up.
Well, of course. And I look carefully at it. I actually summarized it in a press release as far as September Blues is concerned. In a press release...
Yeah,
in the initial release, I went through all six parts and summarized all six parts, but I got a critique from a 9/11 activist who thought that was too overwhelming, so I modified it and talked about some of the parts. But the point I made there was that we have to be concerned about the possibility of fake videos of video fakery. But the point I'm making is, how could anyone come here to the Scholar's site and not read possible evidence of TV fakery, and then get down to the debunking September clues by Nick Irving, some more footage, then your September clues busted by you yourself, the Genghis series, and Chapter 5 composite by Ace Baker, Eric Salt's rebuttal, and Ace Baker's response? How could anyone think I'm doing more than is supporting the research in this area? I mean, I have opinions, and I've told you the strongest arguments I believe for video fakery, which I'm inclined to believe is it genuinely happened, is the impossible speed, the wake vortex, the silhouette that should be there in art, the repetition of frames in a Chopper 5 composite.
Well, I accept that you have a broad spectrum on there, but I think you look at things quite as deeply as you should if you are called scholars for 9/11. Anyway, let's pass. We were talking a little earlier about the dive. Now, you say that the FAA, are you saying that the FAA's dive speed at low level is wrong?
I'm saying let's look at Boeing actual specs on the speed possible here, and that your attempt to dismiss Keith seems to me to be equating ad hominem.
No, that's not. I'm sorry. That is Joe Keith's ideas. It's not Boeing specs. You're not looking at Boeing specs. Give me a peek.
I'm asking for Boeing specs, and Joe Keith designed the shaker system for Boeing. You know that. This guy's probably about as expert as they come.
Do you know what the shaker system does? What the shaker system does?
It determines the speeds at which planes are going to shake apart, I presume.
No, it's not. That's a popular myth. It's another myth.
Well,
you don't check the...
Debunk it, Anthony. Debunk it.
Well, he was designing the control equipment for machinery to shake aircraft at various frequencies when they're being built or tested to see at what sort of resonant frequencies the things start to, the metals start to stress.
That's right, but the whole purpose of doing that is to determine the flight characteristics at the altitude.
No, it's not. It's to find out what frequencies they fall apart at.
Right.
How come that Boeing wound up with an airplane in 1982, which the Federal Aviation Authority approved speeds of about 480, I can't remember what it was now, 483 miles an hour? Joseph Keith says the frame will start to fall apart at 220 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And the power plant will max out. Come on, he's wrong.
Anthony, we're not even talking about the same type of aircraft. He's talking about a Boeing 767-200. You're talking about some specially designed semi-rocket kind of plane.
I'm not. That I just put that as a demonstration. He says the planes will max at 220 miles an hour at 700 feet. They won't. Look at the FAA figures. The FAA would never. The FAA would never put in 483 miles an hour at between sea level and 18,000 feet if a plane can do it. It has to be able to do much more than that to be approved. Joseph Keith is wrong. You got the wrong expert.
I'm not convinced of that, and I'm also troubled that Boeing won't release information on this. It ought to make it freely available if, in fact, you're right.
Boeing, a huge aerospace company which relies on government needs. You think they're going to stick their nose in this? Give me a break. Now look at.
Wait a minute. What does that mean, Anthony? What are you implying there, Steve?
I'm going to reply. I'm implying that Boeing will not say yay or nay to anything on the issue of 9/11. That's what I'm implying. I'm not implying it. I'm saying it. I know it's true because I've tried to get in touch with Boeing too.
Stand by, Anthony. We'll be right back with my special guest, Anthony Lawson. Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Special guest today is Anthony Lawson. Anthony has done some excellent work on 9/11, including This Is an Orange, a video about the destruction of Building 7 as a classic controlled demolition. He's also worked with Nick Irving on Towers of Dust, their excellent piece. And today we're discussing his criticism of some attempts to prove 9/11 video free, where he takes exception to the quality of the arguments. Anthony, let me just throw one more argument into the mix. Morgan Reynolds.
Yeah. Just before you do that.
Sure, go ahead.
You're always throwing, we've got about, 5 minutes left, and you're always throwing other arguments. Would you go, we were talking about the speed of the aircraft.
Yeah.
Joseph, now, go to 727 on impossible speed busters.
727? Let me see.
727. Yeah.
Hang on a second. Let's see. I got to find it.
Because, what I'm finding is that the easiest way to pull an interviewee down is by just introducing a whole load of new things time and time again, over and over and over. And that's what you're doing.
Well, certainly not what I'm trying to do, Anthony. I mean, I'm having you on because I think you're an intelligent, interesting guy, and you've got something to say, and that's independent of whether I agree with it.
Well, I think what time trying to do that, but that's what appears at the moment.
Everyone will have to draw their own inferences, Anthony. You're very mind-reading when it comes to other people's intentions. Where do you want me to go?
727.
Okay, it's just loading. It'll take a second to get there.
I'll just explain the shot, what you're going to see. You're going to see a plane on the top. You could explain to me how they put this in with video trickery. Right of the screen, you'll see a plane descending. Then I cut it, and I've timed out from the impact. It impacts the buildings in the foreground in the entire shot. But I've cut it to another shot, which is from the side, at exactly, within a frame two of the cut point, because it's serial to match the explosion. You will see that plane is descending very steeply to start with, then levels out. You said in many of the videos it appears to be level. If you have a shortcut of a video like that, yes, it will appear to be level. It depends on how the person is holding the camera as well. These were very, very short shots, and there was only one take. There wasn't take 2, 3, 4, 5, big spectacular. And you're saying that this was all done live on TV by all these TV stations. This is what you're maintaining, you and I.
It's not what I'm maintaining. It's not what Ace Baker's maintaining. It's not what Reynolds is maintaining.
It's what everybody who says it's video fake is maintaining.
Ridiculous, Anthony. That's just ridiculous. I can't believe you've been listening to any of these discussions. A lot of us prepared in advance, Anthony, with, the multiple ways it could be done. It was inserted during the live, but it was prepared in advance. Who in their wildest dreams would imagine that stuff was made up during a 15-second, 17-second delay? To me, that's so revealing that you're so intent on getting your point across that you don't pay even the least attention to the position of those you're criticizing. That's embarrassing, Anthony.
Because I think that the hypothesis is absurd. That's why.
Well, the way you cast it, it would be absurd. But none of us hold possession. Anthony, this is a classic example of the
storm. How did all the buildings explode?
This is a classic example of the storm.
The right moment.
This is a classic example of the straw man.
Well,
this is a classic example.
How did the buildings explode at exactly the same moment for every one of these bits of TV fakery? How did it get onto private videos? How did the cameraman, how did Park Foreman, for example, standing as he was over in Battery High, what's it called, Brooklyn Heights, suddenly his neighbor taps him on the shoulder and says, what the is that? And he pans over and says, don't you look at what I've done? And you tell me how that got on there. Still on?
Yeah, I'm looking at 635, Ant, where the plane's going into the building and there's no silhouette, but you're suggesting that that's because of
no
Walmart.
Silhouette. What do you mean, no silhouette? What do you mean, no silhouette?
Silhouette of the crack, all the damage done to the building, the structure.
That is not blown up so much. How can you possibly... Go on to 727. You see the plane descending and a cut to it.
One of the most important arguments we haven't discussed, I'm going here, by the way, is that we simply don't have the massive debris that we ought to have, broad wingtips, tail sections, nothing there in the form of debris from this. Don't you find that very odd?
No, not if you think of the speed of it and if it's necessary to put depleted uranium reinforcement of tips. This was done by experts. It wasn't done by a bunch of TV...
I'm at 7:13, Anthony. That's where you wanted me to be.
Okay.
The plane is on the very much on the line. You're talking about this very slight slope to either side.
7:27, please.
Well, I'm looking at 7:13, 14, 15, 16. It's very much on the horizontal.
It's
I mean, there's a slight slope to it.
It's a different shot. I'm talking about shot at 7:27. Don't look at something else. If
I'm looking at 24, 5, 26. Okay, 27.
Here we go. Watching it?
Yeah.
Coming in? I was watching at the same time. Coming in very steeply, right?
Initially, when it's far out, it's fairly steep. I mean, you know, depending on how we measure things. I'm looking at it again, Anthony. As you say, these perspectives can be so deceptive, but here it's coming down, I don't know, what's the angle, 15 degrees angle when it's first coming down there? More? Now, it's hit the building already, but it's quite a lot.
I wouldn't be able to tell you from that angle.
Yeah.
It could be 15.
Tricky stuff. Yeah.
And if it's got, yes, but if it's got the engines pushed through the gate and the overspeed, you know, breakers switched off, ask Phil McConnell. Ask an expert on flying. Don't rely on Joseph Keefe, who made a shake to break engines of black planes apart. That was his job, break them apart. It's absurd,
Jack.
It really is.
Well, I hardly think that an effective question about the structure of the planes is an absurdity. I mean, this guy looks to me as good a person to be addressing this issue as anyone could be. And the fact that you're going to discount him doesn't answer the question whether he's right or wrong.
The aluminium alloys are stronger than structural steel. Ask Phil McConnell. Look at his side. Captain Sherlock, have a look at it. He's an expert. He's a pilot. He flies these things, both civil and military aircraft. He knows what they can do. Joseph Keith doesn't.
Well, I dare say that someone who's into aeronautical engineering is going to be in a better position to judge us.
He's a software engineer.
I do agree that pilots ought to know the performance characteristics of their planes, and that
let me tell you one quick story. I've been filming most of my life, right? And the crew that you use to do filming have no idea what happens in a laboratory or an editing room.
Yeah,
that's the division of expertise. Joseph Baker was making machinery to shake airplanes apart to test them. He wasn't an aeronautical engineer designing planes to see how fast they could go. That's the difference.
The difference between what and what? Phil McConnell isn't an aeronautical engineer, I take it. McConnell's
a pilot,
right?
He's a pilot, and he knows what the planes can do. He sits in them, and he knows how fast the engines can go. And he's an expert in the field of actually flying, not in the field taking, you know, machinery apart. It doesn't matter whether it's a plane or...
Andy, I want to thank you for coming on the show again. Obviously, I'm going to have you back. I want to thank you. I appreciate it greatly for all your contributions. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Thanks to everyone for listening.